now, hit and miss on prayer. And Sunday nights we're going through the book of Matthew, and then obviously Sunday mornings just preaching whatever the Lord lays on our hearts and things like that. But tonight we'll talk on the definition of prayer. There's really short ones. I've heard prayer is asking. That's probably the shortest definition. Prayer, you're just asking God for something, and so forth. But we have the model prayer in the Bible. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so you see the steps, because they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And he's like, okay. And so, you know, he's basically saying you ought to address God as God. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, or, you know, respectful. Not, hey, man upstairs, or, you know, hey, big fella, or anything like that. No, you're respectful. Our Father which art, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and, you know, we want your will. Thy kingdom come. We're praying, but we want your will more than we want anything. And then it just basically gives us that model prayer and how to pray and things like that. So we're going to look at some definitions real quick. And obviously, there's a verse to go with each one of them. Not something that I've come up with, but it's something that God put in His Word. But as far as introduction, we'll see here, prayer is more than just saying words. There's some people you'll see maybe on TV or at a graduation or some type of festivity like that, and they'll be asked to give the benediction or whatever. You know, I always just call opening in prayer. They'll come up, and that's what they'll do. They'll come up and they'll... And they're going to read their prayer, all right. And I have no problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. But again, it's not the piece of paper. It's not the words. There's way more to it. There's the person you're talking to. There's the things that you're talking about. And so it's more than just words, because the Bible tells us not to do, you know, vain repetition. There's some religions that they teach you to say certain things over and over and over and over. And it's just like, you know, again, if you're meaning them, I guess they're not vain. But if they're just vain, just repetition over and over and over, you're just saying them to be saying them. So prayer is more than just words. And that's found in Hosea 14. Hosea 14, one of the minor prophets right there before the New Testament. Hosea 14, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And we'll see that God's, you know, says, you know, obviously you have to have words. If you're going to communicate, it's better to do it with words. Maybe back in caveman days, there was grunting. you had maybe different, you know, facial expressions, or, you know, beat on your chest, or, you know, whatever, things like that. But, you know, most of us have evolved into being able to use words, and so forth. And people have told, you know, you tell your kid, use your words. All right, what do you say? Please, thank you, yes sir, no sir, all that kind of stuff. So you talk and teach about words. But prayer is more than just words. And so Hosea 14, 1 and 2 is telling us that. It says here, O Israel, and here's the first thing that he wanted him to do. Again, if you're not going to return to God, it really doesn't matter what you say. You could flower it up. You could sound like you had a doctorate degree in theology and all the, you know, the genealogies of the Bible and things like that. And you could come and just wax eloquent. The Bible, I believe, calls it fair speeches. But he's like, you know, Israel, you know, you can doctor that prayer up and you can flower it up and you can, you know, say it loud or soft or whatever. But if you're not going to return to the Lord, it's going to be of no use. So we see here that he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. So if we've backslidden, what we need to do before we, you know, go to God and is maybe say, Lord, forgive me for backsliding and help me to return. And then, you know, now that I'm back and you help me stay back, then I would like to offer these prayers. But that's what he's telling Israel here. Hosea saying, Israel, you better return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen in thy iniquity. So, the Bible even says that God will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And so basically that's what Hosea is saying here. If you're going to talk to God, you need to return to Him first. You can come up with some fancy words. But then it says here, take with your words. So Hosea is saying, it's, you know, when you're praying, you are using words and you're telling God what you want to tell Him and saying to what, you know, so it's fine to bring those words. But, you know, first thing you need to do is have that heart that says, okay, I'm going to return unto the Lord. And then take thy words. And then it says here, turn to the Lord. Say unto him, So take those words after you've repented or after you've returned, and then say what you're going to say unto God. And in verse, the next part of it says here, take away all thine iniquities. In other words, we've talked about this before. You know, hey God, I'm coming to you in prayer because I want to pray for brother so-and-so. Or I want to pray for Mrs. So-and-so. Or I want to pray about this situation. And the Holy Spirit says, well, that's fine. But let's just set that aside. And let's talk about this right here. And you're like, Lord, that's not what I come for. I didn't want to come talk about my hidden sin. Or I didn't want to come talk about my besetting sin. Or I didn't want to come talk about those weights that are weighing me down. I want to talk about this, this, and this. And God's like, no. We're not going to talk about this, this, and this until we talk about... And that's what Hosea is saying here. When you return to God, bring your words, what you're going to say to Him, and say them unto Him. But then, first thing you need to do is ask God to take away your iniquity. And it says here, and receive us graciously. I need your grace again, God. I need your mercy again. I've goofed. I've messed up. And I need your help. And so, fix all that first. And then it says here, so will we render the calves of our lips. That's like weird. All right, I think your calves are way down here, and I don't think it's talking about that type of calf. It's talking about, and I looked this word up, obviously, is, you know, a calf was something that they gave as a sacrifice, or a lamb they gave as a sacrifice. So what you're saying with the calves of your lip, or the fruit of your lip, or the sacrifice of your lip, and say, Lord, you know, I'm trying to return because I've backslidden or I've goofed. I've got some things I want to say to you here. But first thing I want to do is ask you to forgive me. I'm going to ask for some mercy again and some grace again. And then I'm going to ask you what I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to play the let's make a deal. I'm going to give you the fruits of my lips. Now, if you will do this, I will obviously give you credit. If we pray for something and God answers that prayer and we come down and say, look, you know, I'm a super Christian and I got this done. All right, you know, I've got this. I've arrived, and I've got no. We need to give Him the fruit of our lips, and so give Him the credit. So basically, we see here in Hosea 14:1-2, lots of stuff. Return, confess our sins, bring our words with us, tell Him to help us take away those sins, give us some grace, and then when you do, I'm going to thank you for that. And then now we've got all that fixed. I'm going to bring you these words. So this is what we see. So we see in that, we see return from backsliding, return from living a life of sin or whatever. Secondly, we are going to say to Him, so we're going to talk to God Himself. That's what's awesome about prayer. The Bible says that we have the ability, when we're a child of God, we can come directly to the throne. We don't have to go through Mary. We don't have to go through a person. We can just talk straight to God. And so praise the Lord for that. And we ask for forgiveness and grace. And that, you know, as much as I need that, that's almost a vain repetition. because I need it all the time. God, I goofed again. God, I had a bad spirit. Or God, I was just in the flesh. Or God, I. But I really mean it this time. I promise. And so then it says next, it says they're telling what you will do if He will do what He will do. So we see that. So we see we might criticize a person that reads a piece of paper when they're praying, but if they meant what they're read, maybe they just are nervous because they're going to pray in front of people and things like that. Nothing wrong with that. But if it's just words and there's no repentance and there's no asking for forgiveness and there's no praising God, then it may be a vain repetition. So we see that we might do that. And, you know, it says right there, take thy words, or take with you words. There's a thing going around about one of the presidential candidates right now that I won't say which gender because it'll give it away, but I'm sure this will give it away as well. Word salad. In other words, they just throwing out words. They're educated words. They might be even this long. But they're just word salad. In other words, you hear them and you're like, what? what did they say right there? And so again, we can do that to God. We can just, and I've heard people pray this way. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, Most High, and blah, 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 blah. And that's awesome. And He is all those things. But then you're like, what was the prayer? I mean, if it was just praising God for who He is, that's great. And He deserves all that. So again, God's saying here, take your words with you when you're praying. But let's take care of some stuff like that. Then another verse is Matthew 6:7. It says this, but when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, or the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of for their much speaking. And again, so sometimes, you know, a child, you may have a child like this, they'll say it over and over and over and over, like they think you didn't hear them. And, you know, I heard you the first 15 times. All right, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Or some of you might get smart and say, if you ask one more time, it's no. Matter of fact, it's going to be the no the next three times you ask me about that. Oh. All right, why? You just want them to stop that much speaking. That's not going to get them in. You know, can I have a cookie? 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 Stop. You can have a cookie after supper. Well, I want one right now. No. And your much speaking is not going to get it. And so that's what God's saying is nothing wrong with asking for the same thing. Some of those prayer requests that Brother Raji prayed for a while ago, we've mentioned them several times. And we're going to keep mentioning them. We want God to answer them. So there's nothing wrong with repetition, but there is something wrong when it's vain repetition. So it needs to mean something. And not just over and over and over with much speaking. So if prayer changes things, and we've mentioned this as we started, then why are we in such a mess? If prayer changes things, why aren't things being changed? If prayer changes things, why aren't we seeing the blessings of God? So we see that when God listens to our prayers, He does not just listen to our words. He looks at our heart. He looks at our heart. And so that's what Hosea was saying. You know, don't just take words. Don't just give God a bunch of word salad. We need to be right with Him in our heart. Not regarding iniquity there, because the Bible says He won't hear us. So we need to make sure. So from the Bible, we're going to learn some statements tonight that with this prayer is a combination of bowing our heart, bowing our soul, bowing our head, bowing our knee. We see here that this is basically showing God humbleness or humility. And we're going to see some pouring out of our heart. We're going to be looking unto God with expectancy. We're going to be seeking God's face. We're going to be making requests unto Him and some other things like that. So when we come to God, we ought to try to speak intelligently. And sometimes intelligently is saying, God, I really don't know how to figure this out. So that's not saying that, you know, I'm dumb and I can't, but I do need your help. That's an intelligent thing, saying that, you know, I need your assistance here. And so when we come to God, we should speak intelligently. But we do know, the Bible says, if there's sometimes, I don't know how to word this prayer. Only thing I can do is groan. Only thing I can do is say, Lord, I don't know. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will interpret those groans and express to God. So we ought to come with God intelligently. We ought to come to God with the same desire that He has. I know there's people that try to take verses like this. You know, if your ways please, I'm paraphrasing here. If your ways please Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. All right? And so a lot of people's like, well, you know, the Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. My desire is to be wealthy. My desire is to be, with this person. My desire is to have that thing. And that my desire, well, the Bible says, if our ways please Him, we leave that part out sometimes. And so we see here, that's what Hosea was saying. You're coming and asking, you're telling God your desires, but your ways are not pleasing. And so we ought to come with the same desires He has. Our desires should be His desires, and we ought to be in tune with Him. The biggest concept to know when we come to prayer is, you know, talking to God. We're not talking to a neighbor. We're not talking to a relative. We're not talking to a friend. We're not talking to a stranger. We're talking to God. So take your words, but come with a clean heart. And God will listen to you. So Matthew 7:7-8 says this, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, there's no exclusion here. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. So we have a promise in the Bible that we seek, we can find. We ask, we can have. We knock and it shall be opened. Now, sometimes when you knock on that door and it's open, you get something you didn't expect. And so sometimes God answers it maybe in the way He wanted to answer, not ours, but He will answer. So God wants us to ask. And God wants us to be intelligent when we do. And the reason I know that, because the Bible says, don't ask amiss. Don't be uneducated about it. Don't just ask for random things. And the Bible also says that we ought not ask maybe to have our lusts fulfilled. So don't come to God like that. Come to Him intelligently. We'll read three more verses and we'll get into the points. John 14:14 says this, "If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." John 15:7, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So that's what Hosea was saying. A lot of you Israelites here, you're not asking in Jesus' name. You're just saying, "God, I need. God, I need. God, I want. God, do this. God, fix this. God, do." But we're not asking in Jesus' name. And then it says here, He says, you might not be abiding in Him and His words abiding in you. But the Bible says if we do, we ask it and it'll be done. John 16:24. "Hereunto ye have asked nothing in My name. Ask and ye shall receive the joy, that your joy may be full." So when we pray, we need to obviously consider holiness. We need to consider God's desires. We need to be earnest about it, sincere. And we need to be living righteously to have these promises that we can claim. So now we're going to look at the seven statements here, seven verses, and we'll go through them pretty quickly. The first one is found in Ephesians 3:14. And so the first thing we're going to look at is bowing the knee. Bowing the knee. And the older I get, the harder that is. The older I get, the more that hurts. But it still shows a reverence, a respect. Maybe it serves humbleness. But Ephesians 3:14 says this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ." And now we know there's people that won't. Right? Nobody will tell me what to do. I ain't bowing nothing. But the Bible says that one day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. So these people that say, "There's no God, I'm not bowing nothing." One day they will. And we see that, I want to go ahead and do that now. Out of respect. Lord, let me bow my knee. Now, obviously, you don't have to bow to pray. You can pray driving. Leave your eyes open. All right? Don't even bow your head. You can talk to God because why? The Bible says, pray without ceasing. So we can talk to God anywhere, but when I'm going to come to Him on some serious things, and I'm going to try my best to show respect here, so I'm going to bow my knee. So bowing the knee says that I'm showing humility. That's an act. I'm showing you my humility. I'm asking for your help. That's action. And then we see here that we are displaying the right attitude. So we see the act, the action, and the attitude when we bow the knee. So, showing the right attitude inwardly and outwardly. Body language. Some of you, if you have a little kid and, they come in there and you can just see it. That head's waggling, maybe that hand's on that hip. You tell me what. Body language speaks loud. All right? And, not another word. Word. We ought, that one guy that, said, "Don't you get out of this circle?" And they're over there stepping out. Body language. And you can see stern face when somebody's getting on to you. Things like that. Body language speaks a lot. And so that's why the bowing of the knee, it's not hand on the hip telling God anything. It's not setting our face like a flint against God. Our body language speaks loudly. Of course, obviously, when there's an attraction, male and female, body language says a lot, and so forth. Talk to the hand, get on out of here, don't you even come over here. That type of body language, cold shoulder, all that stuff. It's posture. And so bowing the knee is showing God humbleness. God considers our feelings, our emotions, our love, our desires, and even our position when we're asking Him for a prayer to be answered. So bowing the knee. Number two, not only should we bow the knee, we should pour out our heart. And again, this is just like maybe bowing the knee is hard for somebody that's older or somebody that's had knee problems and things like that. It's hard to do. Some of us we're not pour out our heart type people. We keep it all in. If God wants to do something, He'll just do it. I'm not going to bother. I'm just It is what it is. It's just life. Right? So we keep it all in. But God says He likes for us to be an open book. Pour our heart out to Him. 1 Samuel 1:15. Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord." And she's talking to the preacher there at the church. She says here, "I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." So we saw that the bowing of the knee was a posture, a body language saying, "God, I'm trying to be humble here." Secondly, we see here Hannah, you know the story. She wanted a child and she was barren. And so she went to the church and was serious about it. And again, so she was to the point that she didn't really, you know, care about walking down quietly and bending over and praying. I mean, she was just pouring her soul out to God. Maybe to the point that people thought, okay, she's lost it. you've been in there, you know, tipping it back. Are you drunk? And she's like, "No, I haven't taken one sip. I'm just pouring my heart out to God," showing the sincerity here. So we see we're just looking at definitions in the Bible about praying. And we have one example of bowing our knee. Now we have another one. If you really want something, you got to pour your heart out to God sometime. And so she was praying in the temple and was accused of being drunk. There's other places in the Bible that they ask, you know, they ask these men, "You guys drunk?" And they, "Well, we're not drunk like you suppose. Right? We haven't drank alcohol, but we are full of the Holy Spirit, and we're excited about it, and we want to serve God, and you know, we are drunk, but not as you suppose." The same thing here. She was like, "You know, I'm sorry that y'all think that, but I'm just trying to pour my heart out to God." Psalm 62:8. David was saying, "Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. The Lord God is your refuge," or "the Lord God is a refuge for us." Selah. In other words, think about that. And so David obviously poured out his heart out to God when he was out keeping his father's sheep and when he was going to go slay Goliath. And then after he sinned with Bathsheba, all these types, he poured his heart out to God. And what we got to realize is God already knows. You know, if you pour your soul out to a friend, they didn't know until you told them. And I'm going to be vulnerable here, and I'm going to open up some of my secrets to you, and I'm telling you. You know, we think, "I can't do that to God." He already knows. That's what Hannah, he knew Hannah didn't have a baby. He knew David had sinned with Bathsheba. He knew. And so anytime that we do that, but God just wants us to be willing, obviously, to bow our knee, pour our soul out to Him. So pour out basically means an act of emptying. And of course, we have the example of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if we're saved, we have Him all. But basically, as we get closer to God in our Christian life, He gets more of us. So in other words, we might have to take out some bad habit and let God and the Holy Spirit have more of that. Take out some, you know, things that we have in our life, hidden sins or weights, and we're taking them out, giving God more. And that's what pouring out sometimes means. So it says there, sometimes God cannot work in lives of people because there's no room for Him, because they have so much other things in their life with sin and drama and issues and things like that. Sometimes we have to pour ourselves out to God so He can have room to work. So those inward feelings and those burdens and those desires of our heart, God wants us to have a successful prayer life. Next, we see here emptying out our hearts. Emptying our hearts out of, and will give God more room to work in our hearts and so forth. So we have to empty the room out of, and it gives Him benefits and blessings and His favor to work in us. So bowing the knee. Pouring out the heart. The next was lifting up our soul. Lifting up our soul. Two verses we'll read here. Psalm 25:1 says here, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." So of course we see it right here in the Bible. And we'll explain how to do it here in just a second. The other verse is found in Lamentations 3:41. And it says almost the same thing. It says here, "Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." So basically our soul is the innermost part of our being, our body, our soul, and our spirit. And so we want to lift up our soul to the Lord. The Bible talks about lifting up a lot of things. Lift up your prayers to God. Lift up your eyes unto the hills where your help comes from. Now we're saying, God, I'm going to lift up my soul. Please fill it. Sometimes when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and your soul, it has to come out somewhere. So sometimes it comes out of your mouth and you brag on God. In God we boast, the Bible says. And we just like to say, God has done this and God has done this. We just can't help ourselves because we're so full. We've lifted up our soul. He's filled it, and it's got to come out our mouth. And some of you are like me. Sometimes you get so full, it comes out your eyes. And I got to get my hanky out, and can't see my notes, and I just get overwhelmed. So when you lift up your soul and say, fill it, it's going to come out somewhere. So sometimes it'll come out in a testifying way, out of our mouth, and then sometimes it'll come out of our eyes. Sometimes it'll just come out. In our smile, in our joy, in our spirit. We just can't help it. So the heart and the soul that expresses that spiritual life and that spiritual will can be lifted up to God. So if we say, Lord, you see, here's a humble heart and soul. Lord, here's an emptied heart and soul. You fill it up. And here's a spirit-filled heart and soul. So God can lift it up. It's kind of like sometimes when you tell your kids, go do your homework. And they come in there and let me see it. All right, and they very reluctantly raise it up like, okay. And you're like, nope, get back in there. So sometimes if we lift up our soul and God's like, no, there's some stuff in there you need to fix. That's what it's talking about here. Is this okay, God? Is this good enough? Check my work. That's what we're saying. So a child sometimes can lift it up. And we're like, no, go back in your room and finish that. Okay. So sometimes we'll lift up our soul to God and He'll say, there's some this, get rid of that, and then bring it back. Oh, fix this, and then come back. Oh. And so I'd be going back and forth to my room all night long. So full surrender before the Spirit of God will inspire an inward and an upward urge that draws God's heart. So when God sees that soul being lifted up and it's clean and it's humble and it's wanting to be filled with God's desires, He's like, ha, got my attention. And then so we cannot live life of sin and selfishness and earthly lust and expect God to hear or accept or feel a lifted up soul. So when we lift up our soul, we have anything in there that God doesn't like, we can't be very confident. God's not going to answer that prayer. But if we bow the knee and we pour out our heart and we lift up our soul, then we can be confident that God's going to do that. And that brings us to this next one. Not only bowing the knee and pouring out the heart pouring out the heart and lifting up the soul. Next, we have looking up to God with expectancy. With expectancy. So again, God's saying, get these other three things first. We don't need to go to God expecting and not be humble. Say, look, do this. Get this done. You're God. No, we ought to bow the knee. Pouring out our heart. We got all this secret stuff hidden and things like that. No, pour it out. And then lift it up and say, okay, God, fill it up. And if we do all those things, then we can look at God with expectancy. And the Bible says so. Psalm 5, verse 3 says this. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. So David's like, I'm going to pray in the morning. Just mark it down. I'm going to pray in the morning. And then it goes on to say, O Lord, in the morning. So he's telling them again, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. So in other words, okay, what's the answer? I told you I was going to come talk to you in the morning, this morning, and I'm talking to you, and then I'm going to look up. Okay, what are you going to do about it? So we can pray with expectancy. The Bible tells us we can go boldly to the throne. So David had the mindset that God was going to hear him because he was bowing his knee. He had poured out his heart. He'd gotten everything out and lifted up his soul and said, God, fill it. So then he's like, okay, what you going to do? Where are we going? So he prayed, he looked up, and he expected an answer. David was expecting approval or disapproval, but he was expecting something. It wasn't like, and I know there's some verses where where David's saying, God, where are you? Why have you shut your ears? And I'm paraphrasing here. I've been praying. But at this point, David said, I'm going to pray in the morning, And God's going to hear me, and He's going to give there. So we can pray expecting. If we are right with God and we know He's going to answer us, that you know He's going to give us an answer. It may not be the answer we were looking for or wanted, but He's going to give us an answer. So we are not praying to someone that don't understand. You might go to somebody at work, or you might go to somebody out in the public and ask them a question. And they're like, huh? I don't get it. You know, if you ask them to heal somebody, what are you talking about? I can't do that. What is God's will? And I don't understand what you're talking about. And so we're not talking to somebody that can't understand us. I mean, are you speaking Spanish? You speaking a different language? No, that's not God. We're not praying to someone that doesn't understand. We're not praying to someone that can't fix it. He can. And so that's what David was saying. Look, I'm going to pray in the morning and I'm going to look up. Because He understands me. He knows He's powerful. He can fix it. He knows what I'm talking about. He sees it. So bow the knee, pour out the heart, lift up the soul, looking to God with expectancy. Next one is seeking God's face. Seeking God's face. Psalm 27:8 says this, "When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thy face, Lord, I will seek thee." So when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And so we are all to seek the face of God. And so when you're having a serious conversation with somebody, what do you usually say to your kid? Hey, look right here. Look at my eyeballs. And usually when that happens, it's because you're nailing them. They're guilty of sin. You know, they don't want to look at your eyes. You're right. And so that's what God's saying. Hey, when you're talking to me, look right here. That way I can see your little face. You can see my face. We can have and that's the way, you know, my wife, she likes to talk sometimes, and it seems like she wants to talk when I'm watching the ball game. I mean, nearly every time. And so when she comes in there, she don't want me to go, uh-huh, uh-huh, yes, yes, go, uh-huh, uh-huh. She knows I ain't heard squat. When she's talking to me, she wants me to go, whoop, right here. All right, that's what God's saying. So look at my face. When we have something serious or intimate conversation, God wants us to look at Him in His eyeballs, in His face. So when you're expecting that, you're going to obtain recognition. I got you. I'm hearing you. You got my undivided attention. So it's hard to look at someone in the eyes when you know you're guilty or you're lying. You can always tell. Next, last, I think we got two more. Calling upon His name. Calling upon His name. Genesis 12:8 says this, "And He removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched His tent, and having Bethel on the west, and Haiah on the east, and there He built an altar unto the Lord, and He called upon the name of the Lord." Psalm 116:4, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul." So we're seeing definitions, examples in the Bible of bowing the knee, pouring out our heart, lifting up our soul, looking unto God with expectancy, looking at God's face or seeking God's face, then calling upon His name in the last one, then making supplication unto God. Job 8:5 says this, "If thou wouldest seek unto God betimes." And this is not a word that we use a lot, betimes. I believe it's in Proverbs. It talks about correcting your child betimes. If you love your child, you'll correct them betimes. And so the definition of that word, basically, betimes means as many times as necessary. So you correct your child. How long should I correct them? As many times as necessary. Till they get it. And so that's what God's saying. Well, now we're to seek God betimes. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. It also means before it gets too bad. Before it gets too bad. So in other words, Proverbs is saying, correct your child before it gets too bad. Like a 2-year-old, terrible twos, I get it. You correct, and it seems like you correct 24/7. But it's easier to do that for a 2-year-old to a 17-year-old. If you wait till they're 17 to start correcting, ooh. So that's what He's saying. God's saying here, when thou wouldest seek God betimes, in other words, as many times as necessary, come seek me. And then seek me before it gets too bad. Some people, you know, they've already had this addiction and they've had this mess up in their life and they've had this and then they've had this. And then they come to God. Now, God's He's a miracle. He can save. He can help you the rest of your life, just ask Paul. But he can't go back and fix those things. Those scars are still there. So that's what God's saying here in Job. Job did it right. He prayed to God before it got too bad. And so it says, the whole verse says this, "If thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplications to the Almighty." So in other words, let God know. Don't just let things happen. Daniel said it this way, Daniel 9, 3 and 4, and I'm finished. It says here, "I have set my face unto the Lord God, and seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, with sackcloth and ashes." I mean, he was showing God his seriousness here. He was bringing those supplications. He says, "I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession." So just like Hosea was telling Israel, confess, turn, then bring your prayer. And then it says, "And said, O Lord, thy great and dreadful God, keep thy covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments." So supplication basically is a humble petition to God, that we should never demand God. We should bring our supplications, our asks. Nothing wrong with repetition in prayer as long as it's not vain. And of course we have examples of that. Jesus prayed 3 times for the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. Elijah prayed 7 times for rain. David and Daniel prayed repeatedly for the same thing. And so also Paul prayed and asked God to take that thorn in the flesh away 3 times. So we see there's nothing wrong with praying for the same thing over and over. Just don't let it be vain. But then we got the bowing of the knee, pouring out the heart, lifting up the soul, seeking His face. Great, great definitions of prayer in the Bible. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And Lord, I just ask You to have Your will and way in our lives. Lord, help us all, Lord, to, I hate to use the word take advantage, but that's basically what You want us to do. Come to You before it gets too bad, before there's hurts, before there's things that is going to leave scars. So Lord, help us to come to You before. And Lord, I just ask You to help us to come humbly. Lord, help us to lift up our hearts and our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.